Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Recapping Sunday here, week 7 on October 21st. What's up, everybody? The gang is back together. All four of us are here. Adam, Jamie, Dave, Heath. And we are going to take you through everything. The leaderboard, the winners, the losers, all those number two running backs that were really good. Most of them were really good. How would you rate this NFL Sunday on a scale of 0 to 10? Dave Richard on the awesomeness-o-meter. Awesome-o-meter.
This one was a 10. This one was a lot of fun. Lots of close games. A lot of games that looked like blowouts, and they became close toward the end.
Jamie, what was the best finish of Week 7?
The best finish of Week 7 was Bears-Patriots as it came within a yard of being tied on a Hail Mary.
Heath, should they have gone for two in London?
No.
Yes.
I don't think it's like a terrible idea. I don't think it's indefensible, but I think that's the wrong move there.
It was absolutely the wrong move. That's a 1-5, 2-4 desperation move. They tie that game and they're still the chance to be leading the division if they end up winning it.
It was a 13-play drive, took 5 minutes off the clock. They were moving downfield on them. That defense was tired. You had your foot right on their throat. Going for it was the right move. The plays they called.
All they would have done was given the ball back to the Chargers with time for them to go kick a field goal.
30 seconds.
It was absolutely the dumbest move that they could have done.
Yeah, but what's the difference between going for it and taking the lead or tying, or you know, have a tie game and give the ball back to the Chargers?
Because the tie, at least you give yourself a chance.
What?
You miss it, you're done.
The same
thing.
Rivers
doesn't take the same chances to get a field goal if the game's tied.
I don't know about that.
Down one, they get a field goal.
They weren't getting a field goal. I mean, and if they did, they have a young rookie kicker
who has never missed.
Who's not that good.
He's never missed.
I went to Miami. Trust me, he's not that good.
It is a dumb decision.
I liked it. I thought this was interesting, guys. There were only two quarterbacks this week that were started in more than 82% of leagues. I don't know like how super significant that is, but that just shows everybody's got options. Do you know the two quarterbacks that were started in more than 82% of leagues?
Brady,
Patrick Mahomes,
Matt Brady. Yes, Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Drew Brees.
No.
Andrew Luck. Carson Wentz.
Jared Goff.
Matt Ryan.
Oh,
makes more sense than any of our guesses.
Yeah, Brady was started in 78% of leagues. Ryan and Mahomes are the only quarterbacks that are like basically universally started. Kind of fun, you know. Everybody's got options at quarterback.
Well, I think the scoring today, though, because I was sitting here thinking, you mentioned the leaderboard. I don't really know who the top five quarterbacks were, because everybody that threw for a lot of yards didn't throw very many touchdowns, and the guy that threw for the most touchdowns threw for like 150 yards.
Not a great
and so
week. Not
it was week. So format dependent on the quarterback scoring. The top five in a 4-point per touchdown league, I don't think would look anything like the top five in a 6-point this week.
Yeah, only 230.
Oh no, Trubisky's probably there for both.
Trubisky, yeah, he's number one right now. And then, you know, I was talking. Jamie and I were doing the radio show last night, and what really stood out to me—I don't know why I didn't notice this—when we were doing the start and sit shows on Thursday and Friday. It's like, look at the guys that everybody had ranked like 10 through 20-ish at running back. It was almost nobody that we would have expected in the preseason. Latavius Murray, TJ Yeldon, Tariq Cohen, Kerryon Johnson, Nick Chubb, James White, depending on, you know, where you might have had him. So running back was so interesting, and most of those guys came through, huh, Dave?
Plenty of them did. A couple of them didn't, but that's the nature of the beast of running backs in fantasy football.
I guess so. I guess this is an argument for zero RB, right?
Well, Todd Gurley did pretty well.
Yes, as always, Todd Gurley.
A lot of other first-round running backs maybe didn't do so well this week, but they'll have their weeks.
All right, let's get into the big news, then the winners and losers. Rob Gronkowski is expected to play next week. He's at Buffalo on Monday night. Steelers owner Art Rooney does not expect the team to trade Le'Veon Bell. The trade deadline is the end of this month. Sony Michel left in the first half. Jamie, reaction?
It stinks. hopefully he's going to be okay. I don't think we've seen a report yet on what the status of his injury is moving forward, but man, it sucks. You know, they don't have the depth that they usually have. I would imagine that they the first guy that comes to mind is Mike Gillisley. He's still available. He's with the team. He knows the plays. So he can come in and, you know, be a part of a rotation with James White and probably Kenyon Barner. But Barner's somebody you got to go look at. Not that he's going to be a must-start guy like Sony Michel was, but in deeper leagues now with the thick of the bye weeks, he's somebody that can end up being a flex option.
Yeah, they've got an extra day. Hopefully, Michelle's injury not too serious. Barner had 10 carries for 36 yards. James White had 11 carries. That's a lot for him. 11 carries for 40 yards. Heath, that same game next week, might not have LeSean McCoy. Also, Chris Ivory got hurt, but he says he's fine. He came back in. But McCoy left with a head injury in the first quarter. So, you know, Chris Ivory's done a pretty nice job, actually, when he's been called upon.
He's had the two best games for Buffalo this year.
Oh, that's a shame. Heath, you going to pick up Chris Ivory?
Let's see what this situation looks like, but I could see a league where I do. I'd like to get a little more. It was weird, McCoy injury, because it really looked like on that play he hurt his ankle.
Yeah.
And then by the time he got to the locker room, they said it was a head injury. Listen, if McCoy is out for next week, I think Ivory is probably a top 35 back. He's probably somebody you're flexing.
Ivory, 16% owned. That's a topic for Tuesday's Waiver Wire show. Bilal Powell left with a neck injury. They're at Chicago next week, and we wish the best for Powell. I don't think it was one of those super serious neck injuries, right? I mean, but still a neck injury. Yeah.
You know, they're close to getting Elijah McGuire back.
Yeah. Good call. Interesting. Crowell, though, could have a lot of work next week at the Bears. Blake Bortles was benched for Cody Kessler. Nice, nice. Very nice. Very classy, Heath. Very classy.
Thank you.
How was Orlando, by the way? Did you have fun?
It was fantastic. Food and wine at Epcot was wonderful. And I think I discovered that the best, not discovered, but for me, the best roller coasters I've ever been on my life at SeaWorld, which doesn't sound like a roller coaster place.
Are they underwater?
No. One of them, though, went like 73 miles an hour. Another one went upside down nine times.
Nine, dude.
And then the third one is you ride on your stomach.
Oh, that's fine.
You're just held in by the straps that are holding your stomach, and that's it.
I would die on that ride.
Yeah, that does sound pretty crazy. As Jamie pointed out off the air, Islands of Adventure has the best roller coasters.
I think SeaWorld may have it now.
Judging by
the blogs that I read.
Deshaun Watson had to take a bus to the game because they were worried about his ribs and his lung.
Is that bad?
That's bad. Yeah, he couldn't fly. So he had
it's
to
good
take
thing
a
they're
bus.
At home on Thursday.
He might make it back in time.
And he had a bad game, predictable, bad fantasy game against Jaguars. Justin Tucker missed the first extra point of his NFL career, and it cost Baltimore the game. They were going for the tying extra point. He missed it. And Marcus Mariota threw his first red zone interception of his career. Let's do winners and losers. Heath, why don't you kick it off with your winners from the late games? You got a couple of winners, including Cowboys wide receiver Michael Gallup.
Woo! Yes, Michael Gallup. Maybe finally going to break through into the player he kind of looked like in the preseason, caught a long touchdown pass. Still think Cole Beasley probably leads this team in targets, but the more big plays he makes like that, the more opportunities I would say he gets in this offense, and they don't look like a very good offense at all.
Until they trade for Amari Cooper.
Unless they trade for Amari Cooper, and then maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. I hope they do it.
Gallup had the long touchdown, as you mentioned, and Jim Nance and Tony Romo on the call. And you obviously, whenever Tony Romo talks about the Cowboys, you take it seriously. By the way, pretty cool that Redskins Cowboys was on CBS. He was kind of saying, like, he was saying a lot of positive things. It felt to me like he knew that they wanted to get Gallup more involved, and they had kind of been talking. They may have even said that openly. They were kind of cutting in and out as on Red Zone. But Gallup, 3 catches, 81 yards, and a touchdown. And don't know his ownership percentage. So I will look it up. I assume
it's
widely available.
It's very, very low.
It is 11%. And Heath, Alvin Kamara, another winner.
Yeah, and I think we all expected his touches to bounce back, but there were certainly a lot of people concerned about it, and they bounced back. Most importantly, he got a lot of work in the fourth quarter of a game they were ahead. And he got the carries inside. I don't know if he got all of them, But on one drive, he had all the carries inside the 5-yard line and scored the short touchdown.
He did. Earlier in the game, Ingram was in on the Ben Watson touchdown, which was a 1-yard touchdown. Ingram was in the game on that. But it was nice to see Kamara get in near the goal line, score a short yardage touchdown. And he had 17 carries. Ingram had 12 carries, and Kamara doubled them up on yards. What do you think about Mark Ingram, guys, in this game? 12 carries, 32 yards, 2 catches, 10 yards. Dave?
It's frustrating, but it was a tough matchup for him to run on, and clearly this was a game where Kamara got far more involved than he did the previous week. It's going to be this way. It's not going to be every week where both of them go off.
Right.
Although there will be some matchups where they will. Next week isn't going to be one of them. They play against Minnesota, but the week after that, it's the Rams at their place. I bet you'd see them both go off by then. Next week, I'd take Kamara over Ingram.
All right, Jamie, let's get to your winners. It's Kerryon Johnson time.
I'm a little mad at myself. I believe it was Tuesday afternoon in our office. I said, talk me out of Kerryon Johnson as the start of the week, and I didn't stick with the guy that I should have stuck with, which was Kerryon Johnson. Now, that was before Theo Riddick was ruled out. That changed things a little bit for him. Not that he was a huge factor in the passing game, but you know, a few more touches, but he was awesome. In the first half, he averaged 17.7 yards per carry. He finished averaging 8.3 yards per carry. The only thing that didn't happen for him was scoring a touchdown, but he was so awesome against the Dolphins. First off, the Dolphins think against running backs, so that's a good thing. But if there's ever an indication that he needs to get more work and you can trust him as a starting running back week in, week out, this was the indication.
I got a little secret for you, Jamie. Tariq Cohen outscored Kerryon Johnson in PPR.
He did. But,
so there you go. Know, start of the week.
You just look at the eyeball test, though. While Tariq Cohen was great, and thankfully he played to the level that I hoped he would play at, but Kerryon looked awesome.
Got to look on the bright side.
Yeah, you made the right
call. You can use him now. You can use him next week.
No, it was great to see.
Kerryon Johnson. Next week we'll get Seattle coming off their bye. And your other winner. It's so funny. We have two Bears that are winners amongst the three analysts here. Two Bears that are winners and two Bears that are losers. Our first winning Bear is Trey Burton for Jamie. He was 61% started. He had a huge game, 162 yards and a touchdown on 11 targets. All right. Yeah. Trey Burton, his best game of the year.
It was great to see. I mean, do this more. Feature more like this. Allen Robinson stinks. That's a loser for me. You know, he, I don't know how hurt he is, but I don't think he's going to live up to what the expectations were for him. But this gives you a sign of, you know, Trey Burton kind of was able to be successful for you as a fantasy tight end, despite not having the big targets and receptions early in the season. If this is a sign of things to come, that they can feature him, look, it's going to be times where Robinson will have some moments, Miller will have some moments, Gabriel will have some moments, obviously. There's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense. But if we get this from Burton, it just makes that tight end position that much better.
He was already on his way to having a good game, and then Patrick Chung got hurt, and Trubisky immediately started looking for him, and that's when he scored his touchdown.
I did say he had 162 yards. He had 126 yards. My apologies. 9 for 126 and a touchdown on 11 targets. And he had 86 and a touchdown the week before, the game before anyway. So gets the Jets next week. So Burton is the number one tight end right now, and we still have a couple games left. Kittle's number three. Who would you rather have rest of the season?
Kittle.
I'll stick with Kittle.
Me too.
That was close.
You know,
it's a lot closer now than it was yesterday.
Less competition for Kittle.
I don't want to buy into George Kittle, but you have to, right? I mean, it's three games in a row.
What is there not to buy into?
Three out of four, which is great for a tight end. What's not to buy? Bethard is. I have no faith in him, but he loves Kittle.
Yeah, I mean, three out of these four games have been with Bethard.
I mean, he probably would have done not necessarily this per se, but he probably would have been successful with Garoppolo.
I think he would have.
It's a weird thing because Bethard is much much worse than Garoppolo. But the target share would likely be different if Garoppolo was the quarterback.
Yeah, I had a lot of George Kittle. He got hurt, and I thought he became one of the best values in fantasy because he was going to be ready for week one. Everybody sort of took him off their draft board. Not everybody, but so many people. I had a lot of Kittle because I thought he'd be great with Garoppolo. I guess it's more like I don't want to buy into Bethard. but he does enough and he gets Kittle involved. Kittle's been great.
I think one thing to keep an eye on moving forward is, can Kittle and Goodwin coexist with Beathard? Because you saw last week it was Goodwin and no Beathard, or excuse me, it was Goodwin and no Kittle. This week it was Kittle and no Goodwin.
Yeah. I don't know how you guys felt, but I wasn't ready to buy back into Goodwin, but I was this week because just what wide receivers have been doing against the Rams. And
he was worth picking up. You didn't necessarily have to start him this week.
All right, Dave, let's get your winners. Mitchell Trubisky, our second winning bear. Trubisky, number one quarterback right now, 35 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues, 81 rushing yards and a touchdown there.
Yeah, that part was pretty silly. How about this? He's had over 300 yards passing and three or more touchdowns in three straight games against three different kinds of defenses. I don't love the completion percentage. 26 of 50 kind of sucks, but you have to love the playmaking ability. The fact that he's willing to run with the football, that gives him a nice base. And he's got the Jets at home in a bounce back spot next week. Welcome to the top 10, Mitchell. You're the top one this week until Patrick Mahomes plays, but top 10 from now on, starter.
He's over the last 3 weeks. I can't imagine there's a running back, there's a quarterback with even close to as many rushing yards as him. It's 47 or more rushing yards 3 games in a row, and more than 80 this week.
His fantasy points this week is what?
35.
So that's 116, I believe, over the last 3 games, 116 fantasy points. He was at 80 plus coming into this week.
He had 55 plus 32 plus 35. So that's 90 plus 32 is.
God bless him, Matt Nagy.
Yeah. 117, I think it was. Yeah. I screwed up the math. But yes, amazing. So who's buying into Mitchell Trubisky as like a must start guy or?
Hi.
You have to.
Okay. Then I will. And same game, Dave, Josh Gordon is your winner.
I love the 55 yard catch and run. I kind of wish he was a little bit faster so he could have scored a touchdown. He's looked a little lackadaisical playing in this offense, but he's still playing in this offense. And 7 targets, another week with a lot of targets, 4 catches, 100 yards. He's going to continue making plays for them. And I'm going to keep continuing to try and trade for him in my leagues.
Okay, Josh Gordon. Nice game from him. Brady with a good game, even though they scored two special teams touchdowns. Did they have a defensive touchdown or two special?
They
teams?
Had a kickoff return for a touchdown and a block punt for
block
a touchdown.
Punt. Right. Brady still managed to have a great game. All right, bonus winner, Marlon Mack. I would do the return of the Mack thing, but it's kind of old news. Yeah, Marlon Mack, number one running back in fantasy for this week as of right now. Mack had 19 carries, 126 yards and a touchdown, plus 2 catches, 33 yards and a touchdown. And I think I want to see what I can get for him. What do you guys think?
Just stay healthy. I mean, yeah, it's not a bad idea to sell high, but just stay healthy.
At the same time, if you can't sell high on him for something that you like, you might as well enjoy him.
Yeah.
Might as well lean on him. I think the Colts have no choice but
to
continue
leaning
on him. Yes, they're at Oakland next week.
All right, so let me ask you this, guys. Heath, I'll throw it to you first. If Marlon Mack stays healthy, how good will he be?
So he does not miss a game the rest of the season?
Yes.
I'll say that he averages 9 in non-PPR and 12.5 in PPR. So he's a low-end number 2, high-end number 3 running back?
I had 9 in mine. For non-PPR, I'd go a little bit lower than that in PPR, but we're just splitting hairs at that point.
Yeah, somewhere between running back 20 and 26.
Marlon Mack or Kerryon Johnson rest of season?
Oh, Kerryon.
Oh, you Kerryon.
Well, is Theo Riddick healthy or not?
Yeah, he'll be back.
I can't believe it's going to come down to Theo Riddick.
I don't think Theo Riddick's having a big impact on what he did today.
He only had 2 catches today, Kerryon
right,
Johnson.
Right, and they were winning most of the game.
All right, so what's your answer, Dave?
I'll take Kerryon.
And Jamie's taking Kerryon. Jordan Howard or Marlon Mack?
Howard, non-PPR.
If Mack doesn't get hurt, I would say Mack will outscore him. I'd probably take Howard.
David?
I'll take Mack.
Oh, okay. Marlon Mack or SeatGeek? You know the answer.
Oh, SeatGeek.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's SeatGeek. All right. Listen, everybody, download the SeatGeek app. Promo code is FFT. That's how you're getting $20 off your first purchase. So you need to go to a concert, comedy, theater, or of course a sporting event, and you want guaranteed tickets and you want a great deal. You want SeatGeek. SeatGeek saves you time, saves you money, and I use it all the time. I love the app. It's so easy to use. Search for an event. SeatGeek will even suggest events that are in your area. SeatGeek can let you know when the prices go down. Really, really useful and just easy thing to use. And again, the promo code is FFT. So you look at an event and it gives you all these results. It grades every ticket based on value. It shows you very clearly where you're getting the bang for your buck. You can also sort by price. You can also sort by adding the fees to your price so you know the final cost, which I think is a very, very nice feature. And I'm telling you, you're going to really love SeatGeek. So make sure you download it and use the code FFT. Get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Again, with the code FFT, SeatGeek. Life's an event, and we have the tickets. Let's go to the losers. Dave, we'll start with you. The Detroit wide receivers are
so
losers.
With Kerryon playing so well and LeGarrette Blount actually averaging 5 yards per carry, the Lions were a running team today. Matthew Stafford threw 22 passes. It was the third lowest mark of his career. Not a single wide receiver had even 40 yards. Kenny Galladay had a touchdown called back, but outside of that, there was nothing to really love from what you saw from the Lions receivers. So if this is going to continue to be the case for Detroit and they say, hey, you know what? We've got this great young running back. He's really, really good. Let's keep feeding him the rock. It's going to hurt Stafford. It's going to hurt those receivers. There might only be one guy that you'll feel remotely decent about starting. I think Marvin Jones is going to start hitting the waiver wire this week. And Golden Tate, you'll still start him in PPR, maybe not in non. And Kenny Galladay, you'll be a little nervous about starting.
And Tate, I think, had an almost touchdown, right? Yeah, he got stopped.
Yeah.
He dropped that ball. It should have been a touchdown to him. But
yep.
Stafford is not throwing that much. It's not just this game, Dave. It's four straight games.
30 pass attempts or less in four straight.
I think 36 or less in four straight. Maybe 30 in three of those four.
Pretty sure it's 30.
30 in three in a row.
I just think like they're going to play Seattle at home, and maybe they're able to have a game like this again. But then they've got a stretch where they're at Minnesota, at Chicago, against Carolina, Chicago, and the Rams. They're not going to throw the ball 30 times against those teams. It's going to be back to 35 to 40. Maybe, I think, because I don't think their defense is any good.
Okay. More losers. Dave, your second loser is Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed.
Hey, Jordan Reed.
Yeah. How can you start him? Why are you starting him?
No. He led the team in receiving, though, 43 yards.
Yeah, well, there was no one else there to catch passes from Alex Smith. But it's frustrating that he continues to be considered a prominent fantasy tight end, and he can't put up numbers that are very good. And I don't know if I can say cut him. I don't even know if he's a sabotage drop where you just hope somebody else picks him up. But this is a team that likes to be balanced, if not lean a little bit more toward the run. And in a game where they didn't have any wide receivers that could pick up numbers or anything like that, they still didn't get Jordan Reed as involved as he could have been.
Would you guys rank these three tight ends ahead of both Jordan Reed and Greg Olsen? I know he caught a touchdown, but I think he had one catch for 5 yards and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Howard, Kittle, Ebron, rest of season.
They're all ahead of him.
Of course.
Okay.
Hooper, too.
Oh. Jamie, your losers. Allen Robinson, is he cuttable? He's 95% owned. Allen Robinson.
10-team leagues for sure. 12-team leagues, I'd put him on the cusp.
There was a moment in the fourth quarter where he was not in the game, so you have to wonder about the injury. But even when he was healthy, I mean, he's just not that involved. And then the Eagles running backs. Losers.
Oh. So frustrating.
Yes.
That neither one separated from the other, and neither of them did anything special today. So you're not cutting either one yet, at least you shouldn't, but you can't start them anytime soon.
And poor LeSean McCoy can't get traded to the Eagles now.
No, and it's funny because the bar is now set. All you have to do is get a fifth-round pick for one of these guys. I don't think Le'Veon's going for a fifth-round pick, but some mid-level running back like Carlos Hyde can go for a fifth-round pick.
And Josh Adams got into the mix with 4 carries for 17 yards for the Eagles.
Well, they
got
to do something. They can't run the ball.
Heath, your losers. Another bear, Taylor Gabriel, 59% owned, and I do apologize. I told everybody to pick up Taylor Gabriel.
I did too. It wasn't just you. He just completely disappeared from the offense. I haven't seen the official snap counts yet, but Anthony Miller was on the field a lot more than he was from when I was watching. And even with Allen Robinson missing plays because he was still a little banged up, Gabriel didn't play enough snaps, didn't get enough targets, just completely disappeared from the offense. And he's not Allen Robinson. He doesn't have Allen Robinson's history. You can just drop him.
They got the Jets next week. That was the other reason why I wanted to pick up Taylor Gabriel, because the Jets are so bad. So, you know, obviously Stephon Diggs is going to take advantage of that matchup, right? And then more on
he
him.
He did. He had 8 catches.
Yeah.
He had Nelson Agholor 8 catches.
Morris Claiborne played well.
Who did?
Morris Claiborne.
Will Claiborne?
Not on the touchdown he allowed to Aldrick Robinson.
No, but he played well on Diggs. That game was over by the time Robinson scored.
Duke Johnson, Heath. He's another loser. Didn't you hear? They traded Carlos Hyde. They're going to get Duke Johnson more involved.
That was awful. And like, it wasn't enough to say we traded Carlos Hyde. We're going to get Duke Johnson involved. We also leak out Sunday morning that Duke Johnson's actually going to be the starter in this game.
Right.
That freaked people out.
Oh, like, yeah. Maybe he didn't play the first snap, but he saw 5 touches in the game. Ran the ball once for -4 yards. He had a couple games in a row with 6 targets, not in this game, just 4, and it's a game where Baker Mayfield threw it 34 times. It's terribly discouraging.
I can't even begin to tell you how many people in our chat that we had on Sunday morning. Oh, my God, Duke Johnson's the starter. Should I start him over Nick Chubb? Should I pick him up over Nick? No, don't do it. Chubb had the first carry, by the way.
And I guess we should probably talk about Nick Chubb. It's been 26 minutes. We haven't mentioned him. Nice game.
Well, for 3 quarters, it was a nightmare. He did not have many yards on not many carries, and then the Browns remembered to use him, and he broke off a long run, got a goal line touchdown, and definitely saved the day with a very strong fourth quarter. He did look great in that fourth quarter.
18 carries, 80 yards, and a touchdown. So Nick Chubb or Kerryon Johnson rest of season?
Chubb.
I'll take Chubb.
Okay. Chubb.
Their schedule the next 3 weeks is just awesome.
And this was a great matchup for Baker Mayfield. It wasn't a great matchup for a running back.
Yes, it was. There was no Gerald McCoy playing for the Bucks.
They were still pretty good against the run today.
They were for 3 quarters, but then they fell off.
Those are our losers, and it brings us to our tweet of the day. It's from Dave Richard. Dave says, there's a commercial with a girl wearing headphones on a bus, watching the world go by. In it, a guy runs out of his townhouse chasing a chicken. That guy looks kind of like Adam Azer.
I finally made tweet of the day.
I've never seen this commercial.
You've never seen it? Do you watch games on Sundays?
What is it? No, I don't watch. I watch 7 hours of commercial-free football, Dave.
That's why you've never seen the commercial.
What's the product?
It's for headphones, I believe.
Headphones. Okay. I'll try to find it. Dave Richard is out of here. Bye, Dave.
Good luck to everybody on Monday night.
And Sunday night. Sunday Night Football about to start. I get to watch most of it. Good stuff. Starting a little earlier today with the podcast. Let's do some buy or sell. Buy or sell. Stephon Diggs is overrated in fantasy.
Buy.
You have to.
Look, I was the big Stephon Diggs guy. He's had some good moments, but he has not lived up to what my expectations were. And I'm sure based on the average draft position, what a lot of people's expectations were. So, I'm still hopeful. Look, he's healthy. Usually he's had some injuries along the way. And he got 14 targets today. I think that was a season high. He's heading back to the place of his most famous play.
New Orleans.
This week.
Home game, right?
Game's in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, he's probably had some big plays in Minnesota, too.
Yeah. But the matchup.
Well, I wanna just say, like, he's better than this. He's gonna be huge.
He's better than this.
He's getting the toughest cover most weeks.
Yeah.
So that's a sign of where his respect level is. But at some point, you got to start to say, maybe we should cover Adam Thielen.
Well, look, if he's getting the best cover, the toughest cover each week, he's got the Saints and the Lions. Both of them have one great cornerback who have done well against number ones this year. Does that
I don't
mean
think the Saints are chasing receivers, though.
You don't think Lattimore?
Well, there was a play today where he was lined up on Chris Moore.
Well, I mean, look, I think he did a pretty good job against Beckham.
He did not follow John Brown today. He was mostly on Michael Crabtree.
I don't think John Brown warrants. Oh, yeah, he was on Crabtree. That's the thing. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Look, you're starting Stephon Diggs. Anytime somebody's getting 14 targets or 8 catches, forget about the secondary numbers that come along with it. There's the chance for plays to be had there. So in PPR, he didn't crush you. In non-PPR, he hurt you. But unless you really are locked and loaded at receiver, and that means, you know, we'll see how this game goes tonight, but guys like Tyler Boyd or maybe John Brown, if you want to make that move, I'm not there yet, but, you know, the secondary guys that have been consistent, if Calvin Ridley comes out of this week with another good game, I can understand benching Stephon Diggs, but he's in my lineup every week.
Yeah, I wasn't saying it more from a benching. I was saying it more from, like, if you are someone who thought he was going to be amazing, would you try to make a buy low offer thinking it's coming, the production's coming?
Yeah, you can do that if you get him really cheap, but there's enough of a sample size now. He's got what, two good games?
Three.
Two great games and a few good games?
He's had three games with 91 or more yards. He's had four games with 43 or fewer yards.
So that's, I think, just kind of what he is at this point. He's clearly not going to be better than Adam Thielen. That was my expectation.
Yes.
That's wrong.
Yeah. All right, buy or sell. Keenan Allen is not a top 15 wide receiver rest of season.
Buy. But he's still top 20.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna sell. I'll say he's just inside the top 15, but that's a good number. It's going to be right around there, I think.
He had a play today where he was wide open. They threw it to Philip Rivers threw it to Mike Williams. It should have been a touchdown. Hit Williams in the hand. He dropped it. Allen thought he was open. He complained, or he was frustrated. He kicked the pylon. He went over to the sideline. You saw Philip Rivers talking to him about what he saw, whatever. So my guess is coming off their bye week, there'll be a little bit of market correction and some squeaky wheel. But I thought he looked good in this game. There were some drives where and plays where he was making plays in the middle of the field, and I thought he was headed for a big game early. Had he scored the touchdown, let's just say Rivers goes to him, he most likely catches the ball that Williams drops.
I think it's the same thing as Austin Eckler. There weren't enough offensive plays.
Yeah.
Those big plays really cut down on the pass attempts and the rush attempts in this game.
Yeah, they had the ball for 9 minutes in the first half. Total time of possession, they had 24 minutes, 37 seconds of possession. And Allen, he had 5 catches for 72 yards. He led the team in receiving. No, he did not. Tyrell Williams did. I apologize. But Williams had the big plays. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like a
Diggs. Targets were down again, though. That's the problem, too.
5 targets. Well, Rivers threw 26 passes.
Yeah, he had 20% is probably not really good enough.
True. All right, buy or sell. You are an idiot moron if you bench Andrew Luck.
Bye.
I have a hard time saying that. Like, it didn't work out this week, and I had him, I think, a little bit too low, but he threw for 150 yards. Like, if you bench a guy, he throws for 150 yards and 4 touchdowns. You're not an idiot moron.
Yeah, but I'll go back. We had this conversation last week. You said it about Cam Newton. I said it about Andrew Luck. Just said it and forget it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's interesting. Then I go back to the only 2 quarterbacks were started in more than 82% of leagues, and you can be in a situation where you have multiple quarterbacks who are set it and forget it, which is why I don't think I should have asked this question to begin with, because I don't think there's one quarterback in football there. You're not, maybe Mahomes at this point, but you can make the case for benching any quarterback because it's such a deep position and you play matchups and whatnot.
Right, but again, it's also about roster management. So Breeze had a brutal matchup this week against Baltimore. He ends up with 20 fantasy points, or 21, whatever he finished with. Right?
Yeah, 20, I believe.
Okay, that's not going to crush your team. You may lose because of it, which I understand. But at the same time, what would you have had to drop to pick up another quarterback? So it comes down to, you know, individual and what your roster looks like. Same thing with Luck. Like, I made a poor decision today, and I had it ranked this way. I had Jameis over Luck, and it's going to cost me a fantasy matchup because I've been carrying both quarterbacks, and I'm going to probably struggle each week about which guy to play. And I'm sure a lot of people are in that situation. Now, Trubisky's going to be like that for some guys. But I think if you just, you know, like Rivers, for example, same thing. Just leave him in there.
Well, but
leave Cam in there. Leave Wentz in there at this point.
Cam, like, I'm so mad about Cam. He played like crap. Yeah, like, just no business winning that game and having a good fantasy day. And he had an amazing fourth quarter. So, you know, it is what it is.
But that's the type of player he is. He's going to give you great moments, and sometimes those great moments are extended over the course of 2 quarters or all game.
I suppose. Okay, so I'm going to kind of speed up buy or sell, because I had the same question about 4 guys. Basically, it's blank is about to have a big second half. I'm going to give you the four names, and you tell me the ones that you think are going to have a big second half. Kenyon Drake, Lamar Miller, Josh Gordon, Deion Lewis. All winners today. Kenyon Drake, Lamar Miller, Josh Gordon, Deion Lewis. Who has a big second half?
Gordon.
Gordon.
Anyone else?
They all could, clearly. But Lamar Miller just makes me nervous, because if Deontay Foreman does come back, then it's going to be messy.
All right, final.
Lewis looked great today. They actually had a lot of success. Derrick Henry scored for the first time in what seems like forever. Lewis was awesome.
He's so much better than Derrick Henry for that offense. I mean, did you watch that game and think they have got to just make it the Deion Lewis show, basically?
Yes, that wasn't what I thought of, but now you say it, yes.
All right, guys.
I thought, why the hell are they going for two?
Buy or sell, last one. Adrian Peterson is not a sell high. He's just good.
He is currently good. He's still not a bad sell high because he's old and he's taken a lot of hits and he's not exactly 100% healthy right now. And so I would still call him a sell high, but he's running good right now.
Well, really, I go is. Back to what we started with the show with, or in the early part of the show. Marlon Mack or Adrian Peterson, rest away.
Mack.
Right. I'd say the same thing. And you were saying, what can I get for him? I still think that's the same thing with Peterson.
Good point.
You're kind of living on borrowed time. But to your point, Adam, though, it's great borrowed time. He's been fantastic. And, you know, we've talked about this. The defense is good. It's keeping them in games. They're not having to chase points. Chris Thompson being hurt is very good for Peterson because he's not coming off the field in those obvious situations. Like, it sucked to see Kirby Bibbs score the receiving touchdown. That probably would have been Thompson, or it may have been Peterson if he was, you know, a little bit more involved in that aspect of the game. But he's been awesome. It's hard to take away from it. And Heath, you made a great call in the preseason. You know, maybe he's just good. And so far, he's been good.
All right. Let's see how we did in the FanDuel contest at FanDuel.com/FFT. FanDuel.com/FFT. I almost got in the money. There are about 1,200 people in this contest. 1,176 people. $5 tournament. You guys feel free to share where you finished. I came in 287th out of 1,176. Not bad. And 242 people won money. On a $5 entry, the lowest payout was 10 bucks. First place gets 500 bucks. And I'll tell you what the first place lineup was. But, you know, I got the Redskins DST scored me a touchdown. Todd Gurley, I had a flex. Unfortunately, I had Corey Clement. He killed me. Kirk Cousins wasn't very good. Stephon Diggs. That was basically what it was. Cousins and Diggs. I thought they'd go off, and they didn't. But, you know, we did well with the rest. We looked at the matchups. We said, put David Njoku in there. Get Jarvis Landry in there. Two guys we really love. Nick Chubb was the free space. And it was a lot of fun. These are guys I don't really have in my seasonal teams. I was able to use them on my FanDuel team. And guess what? I did not cash out in this tournament, but I played the same exact lineup in a 50-50. I came in 25th out of 100, and I won those $5 right back. So that's why I love FanDuel. Plenty of different types of contests to play. Use your knowledge that you get from our podcast and compete against people that are dumb, idiot morons, and don't listen to our podcast, and take their money. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT. Sign up right now. You can join our contest every week, but you can also make a deposit at FanDuel.com/FFT and get a $5 bonus on your first deposit. FanDuel.com/FFT for a $5 bonus. That's for new users only. Bonus not available for withdrawal. State and age restrictions apply. And for full eligibility rules and terms and conditions, go to FanDuel.com. News and notes. Amari Cooper could be traded. Devontae Parker could be traded. Demaryius Thomas could be traded. Joey Bosa expected a return in week 9, according to ESPN. Frank Gore got a little dinged up. He came back, right? Frank Gore? Yeah, he came back.
Yes.
Albert Wilson, though, did not. He may have suffered a serious injury, Albert Wilson. Kenny Stills also left with a leg injury, so a little bit of a rough day for the Dolphins.
And they play Thursday night, so you're probably not going to see those guys.
And Mitchell Trubisky, he had an 8-yard touchdown run. On that play, he ran 71 yards. Moving around. He's like Russell Wilson right now. He's
well,
very
like Russell
fun.
Wilson used to be.
Yes. Well said. Very fun. He also, I thought, played very horribly as a passer.
He got lucky. There should have been probably neither one or two interceptions in that game for him.
Bad decisions, some ugly throws. But
and keep in mind, he had about 50 yards on that last Hail Mary attempt.
Yeah. Carson Wentz completed 15 straight pass attempts during today's game. He deserved more fantasy points. He deserved a better fate.
He didn't play very well at the end.
Last drive?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was ugly. And he gets a fumble at the end. Yeah. Quan Alexander may have torn an ACL, Bucks linebacker. Ronald Jones scored Tampa Bay's first rushing touchdown of the season. Xavier Rhodes sprained his ankle. Mike Zimmer says he doesn't think it's a big deal. Kiki Coutee left with a hamstring injury.
Corey, he's not going to play Thursday night. He's already been ruled out.
Oh, okay. Will Fuller had a good game. Corey Clement has four fumbles this season. Do not overlook that. San Francisco defensive back Adrian Colbert hurt his leg in the second half. I don't know if he was able to make it back in. And the Ravens gave up a touchdown in the second half for the first time this season.
We do have to have one fact checked on the news and notes.
Uh-oh.
I think it was Ronald Jones scoring the first running back rushing touchdown of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. In fact, that wasn't even the first rushing touchdown of the game. Jameis Winston pulled that off. Running back rushing touchdown.
Barber had an almost touchdown. It was taken away.
That bothers me. Because, you know, you don't feel good when you start Peyton Barber. But when you start Peyton Barber and you could have had a good game from him and you don't, then you really don't feel good. Leaderboard or to the games? What do you think?
Games.
To the games. Games. Chargers 20, Titans 19. Talked about the running backs. Corey Davis, Dunsky.
He was awful.
93% owned.
Are you done, Heath?
Nope.
You're not done?
Nope.
He's MVS
or Corey Davis?
Corey Davis.
Wow. He's got a bye. Drop him in his bye. He's picking him up.
Corey Davis, please.
He had a bad drop. He had a really bad drop in that
game. Oh, yeah. He had a bad game.
Mike Williams, Tyrell Williams. Your thoughts?
Call Tyrell.
Hey, you've got the chance. You can drop Corey Davis for Tyrell Williams, see?
Yeah, I probably won't. Hey, Tyrell's on a bye next week, too. I don't think I'm going to pick him up.
Stubborn.
I mean, it's Tyrell Williams is the kind of guy that's going to burn you because he's...
Oh, yeah. The second
you
pick him
up, burn you?
Light up.
Corey Davis.
Corey Davis. you know what?
I mean, he's not even... He's barely the second best receiver on his team.
Hey, does Tajay Sharp matter?
More than Corey Davis.
he was better today than Corey Davis was, yes.
He had 100 yards.
I don't believe he matters more.
Austin Eckler, I mean, he disappointed.
Yeah.
For the most part, I attribute this to the number of plays and the amount of minutes the Chargers had the ball.
And he just didn't make any big plays.
If you were to say 17 touches, What did you text us this morning, your projections for him? 22?
16 carries and 6 targets. He had 12 carries and 7 targets.
So, I mean, he wasn't far off.
He was okay in PPR because he caught 5 passes.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you were to tell me that was the number going in, I would have signed up for it all day.
Only 54% started for Eckler. I do wonder if some of that was like, it was just too damn early for some people. But probably not too much. All right, Tampa Bay 26, Cleveland 23. So let me ask you about Jameis. I brought it up with Dave on the Friday show. This was a Browns defense that had done very well against some great quarterbacks, at least kept them off the board in fantasy. Winston threw 52 times and ends up with 19 fantasy points. Does that make you think that the Browns are one of the toughest matchups for quarterbacks? Because they have Roethlisberger and then Mahomes and then Ryan the next three games.
If DeSean Jackson has that ball, that touchdown, where he was literally in the end zone, I think, for 8 steps and couldn't hold on to it, I think you would say Jameis would have probably scored 2 touchdowns in this game. However it ended up, the rushing touchdown, the pass touchdown, I would have said he would have scored twice. I would have been fine with his day.
And this is another guy that in 4-point per passing touchdown leagues finished much, much higher. Because I think he threw for the most yards today, right?
Oh, that's possible. He had 365 of them.
I just think this offense, it's now, we have enough of a sample size. They've played 6 games. The quarterbacks have thrown for 365 or more in 5 of them.
Wow. Yes, Heath, you're right. He's currently leading. Wow. All right. So yeah, it makes sense. Look, he's turnover prone and that's always going to hurt. He fumbled twice. He lost one of them. He threw 2 picks, but if he's throwing this much and he's throwing for 365 yards and he was on pace to lead the NFL in passing yards in his healthy games last year. So.
The 11 games he played, yes. I think you're going to see, depending how Andy Dalton comes out of this game tonight, that's going to be one of the highest over-unders next week. It's Tampa Bay at Cincinnati. So Dalton could have a huge day, given the matchup, and I think Jameis can also.
I'm going to have Jameis ranked really high again next week.
What do you guys think about Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber?
Frustrating.
Yuck.
Are you going to pick up Ronald Jones after his 1 yard touchdown scamper?
No.
Cool. Baker Mayfield, do you trust him at Pittsburgh next week? He had 24 fantasy points in this game. Wasn't easy though.
I think Pittsburgh's defense is going to start to look a lot better because they started to look better toward the prior to their bye week, last couple games. So I think Baker's going to be about the same going in for me in the teens, but he's not going to play as well as he did today.
Yeah, I won't. He's not going to be. I don't think he'll be one of my top three streamers. Probably, I think there are enough quarterbacks under 60% owned that I won't go that way. And he may be over 60%.
He's way over.
He's 65 right now.
Well, that's it. I thought he was in the 70s.
I can double check. I'm at 65. And I don't want to, you know, toot our own horn too much, but I feel good that we recommended both Jarvis Landry and Josh Gordon as buy lows. That we said David Njoku, I think we said 2 weeks ago, he was set up for a really good stretch, and it's going to continue. And he had 4 catches, 52 yards, and a touchdown.
Even if Baker and those guys play poorly at Pittsburgh coming off their bye week, it's Kansas City and Atlanta the next 2 games after that.
Right. And yeah, it's 65% owned for Mayfield. He was 27% started. Colts 37 and Bills 5. So we touched on Andrew Luck. We touched on Marlon Mack. We talked about Chris Ivory. How about Kelvin Benjamin? Do you think maybe he and Derek Anderson could have some type of connection here? And Kelvin Benjamin, 19% owned, could be worth an ad?
Is Anderson starting next week?
Why wouldn't he? Well, because he was terrible.
I mean, they may go back to Peterman. Who knows?
He is so bad.
I started him as a super flex, and he scored -1 point.
I picked him up in our two quarterback league, and I dropped Marshawn Lynch. I felt icky doing it, and I thought, well, I mean, you know, I'm going to need a bye week quarterback at some point. And yeah.
Yeah, it's.
I'd rather start Taysom Hill at this point.
We never really talk about like the super flexes, but now that I'm in two quarterback league and two super flex leagues, like I have to make these decisions on these dreadful quarterbacks or not dreadful flex options, and it's kind of fun. It's actually really fun, and the quarterbacks keep letting me down, like Derek Anderson today. Anyway,
they'll stop doing it.
I think I'm at that point. Well, what do you think about Benjamin? Pick him up or no?
I'm not adding him.
Okay.
No, but you know, look, if you're a 14 or 16 team league and you're done with Taylor Gabriel, or as you should be, done with Corey Davis, why not?
I think it's nice that T.Y. Hilton just finds a way to be good for fantasy.
Well, he is good.
I know.
I'll be interested to see what his snap count was in this game too, because I don't think he was playing a lot between the 20s.
He caught 2 touchdowns, 4 catches, 25 yards, 2 touchdowns. All right, Eric Ebron had a bad game. Is that fluky or is that a product of, well, Luck threw 23 passes, first of all, but also Hilton being back?
Yes.
Gotcha. Ebron, 3 catches, 31 yards on 7 targets. Carolina 21, Philadelphia 17. Eagles had the ball for more than 10 more minutes than Carolina. Who'd you rather have rest of the season, Cam Newton or Carson Wentz? Cameron Wentz. Carson Wentz or Cam Newton?
I'll take Wentz. He's looked good.
He has looked good. But 3 out of 4 games, he's just been like exactly what he thought he'd be, kind of low-end number one. I don't get it.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, was he been 23 points, basically, 24 points?
22 to 24, I think, in 3 of the 4, and then the other one was 30 points at the Giants. 6 point per passing touchdown leagues.
Yeah, 4 points, I'll take Cam. 6 points, I'll take Wentz.
I think his problem is Aguilar. Getting nothing from him would help.
Doesn't matter, though, when the other two guys are so awesome.
Ertz and Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice, though. Heath, anything else from this game? You want to talk about Christian McCaffrey? 2 kind of bad games in a row in non-PPR.
He's not going to be as good as I maybe thought he was in games where they were down 17 points. Like, I would kind of think that would be his bread and butter, and that's what's happened the last 2 weeks, and he's struggled in that role a little bit. Just 7 carries in this game. They didn't run the ball that much. It almost seems like you should count on about the same number of rush attempts for Cam and McCaffrey each week.
You taking McCaffrey or Kamara rest of the way?
Well, I'll stick with McCaffrey.
They're both past their bye now.
Yep.
Interesting. Believe it or not, I'm going to say Kamara non-PPR and McCaffrey PPR.
Yeah, I'll take Kamara both.
I think Kamara scores more touchdowns. What about Devin Funchess? Sell high or no thanks, guy?
He's been good.
Yeah, awesome.
Last 2 weeks?
Also high.
Okay. Would you rather have Golden Tate or Devin Funchess?
Tate.
Tate.
Would you rather have Funchess or John Brown?
Brown.
Yeah, John Brown. More upside.
Detroit 32, Miami 21. Detroit had the ball for about 7 more minutes than the Dolphins. Matthew Stafford, just not throwing a lot, but playing well per pass attempt. Is Stafford a must-own guy? He's 95% owned.
At his position, he is not a must-own guy. But as he said, there are going to be a lot of games coming up where he's going to have to throw a lot.
Okay, I think we've talked enough about the Detroit passing game and running game. Throwing over to the Dolphins, Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore. Gore had more carries. Drake had the better game, 6 carries by far. 6 carries, 72 yards, and a touchdown. Also 4 catches. What do you think about Kenyon Drake rest of the season, Heath?
I think he's right in that Marlon Mack range. I mean, there's a possibility that he starts getting 12 to 15 carries a game, and then I think he would actually be better than Mack. But the way it's sitting right now, I think they're in a similar range.
You have Stills banged up, Wilson banged up, Parker banged up. They need to
Parker would like you to know that he is not banged up, Jamie.
Yeah.
And maybe traded. So they need to use him in the passing game more. But Danny Amendola now 2 good games in a row with Brock Osweiler in another situation where he benefits. And Osweiler's played well the last 2 weeks, and he gets a revenge game. The Houston Texans match. God.
You think it's his revenge game? What do you think the fans are going to do to what do you think DeAndre Hopkins is going to do to Brock Osweiler? He's going to tackle him.
It's going to look like Eric Reed at the coin flip.
Yes, exactly.
Is it Osweiler's fault that they wanted to pay him without seeing him, without letting the coach talk to him?
I guess not.
No, look, Osweiler's played well.
Yeah.
Give credit.
Yeah. Houston 20, Jacksonville 7. Yeah, it's true. Houston 20 and Jacksonville 7. We knew Deshaun Watson was a sit, and he scored 12 fantasy points in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Do you have long-term concerns about Watson?
Yes.
Is it just health or is it performance?
Oh, it's health. I mean, I think if he gets right, it's so amazing. Their season is really just one of the most amazing things. 0-3 going into week 4 against the Colts, and Frank Reich gives them a gift.
Yes.
And they win that game. Mm-hmm. Jason Garrett the following week gives them a gift. And they win that game.
What did he do?
Nathan Peterman gives them a gift.
Yeah.
And they win that game.
Nathan Peterman gives them a gift? Yeah.
And then they just destroy the Jaguars in Jacksonville, and now they're the best team in the division.
Yeah. What a division.
It's amazing. And you know what else? If Frank Reich doesn't do what he does, and they end up tying that game, they're in it too.
The Texans do not have one game on their schedule that I don't think they have a good chance of winning, except at Philadelphia, maybe at Washington.
What about this week?
No, I'm saying every game other than maybe two are, I might pick them to win.
Yes, I heard you wrong.
I mean, they won't win all of them, obviously, but they could win the division now. They might be in the driver's seat.
If they had any semblance of an offensive line, because you look at their defense and they've really played well. Clowney and Watt are a terror up front. Honey Badger's played well. He's got a second interception this week. Secondary's played well. Or at least competent, and the receiving core is great, especially if QT is healthy. They've run the ball enough, but they can't block anybody.
Well, let's talk about Lamar Miller, because my idiot moron move was benching Lamar Miller for Keelan Cole in PPR. Horrible decision.
Who saw this coming?
Yeah, but it was like a last minute decision for me, and I was like, let's go with Cole. Miller, 22 carries, 100 yards and a touchdown. Wow. And against Jacksonville, Heath, do you have faith in Lamar Miller going forward?
Oh, no. No, I didn't have any faith in him this week. And I was probably lower on him than you were. I benched him for a lot of people. I still have him on my bench in leagues. I'm worried about the share of carries he's going to get down the stretch, whether it's because he's getting dinged up or it's because Foreman is back. He's behind that Mac Drake tier of running backs and more of just I'll start him as a flex.
You go all in on Lamar Miller this week.
Against
the Dolphins on Thursday night, you go all in, and then you trade him for whatever you can get, because Heath is 100% right about the long-term situation for him, but the short-term is as dreamy as it could possibly get, because he looked healthy, they looked healthy, he looked great running the ball, and the Dolphins just showed you that they cannot stop anyone.
All right, I'm ready to.
Alfred Blue has a great game.
Yeah, and this may have been the last time you're starting T.J. Yeldon, but he caught a touchdown for you. And maybe he stays involved in the passing game. He's been really good in the passing game this year. He's got 30 catches. So that's, and we know that's not what Hyde did in Cleveland. But anyway.
So just, well, I'll just give you an update since we spoke, haven't spoken since Saturday night, and you guys haven't spoken since Friday. On our Fantasy Football Today show, Pete Prisco,
Drink.
He said the same thing I think that the reports have been, and again, he's well tied into the Jaguars, that Fournette comes back after their bye week. He thinks it goes 60%. I'm going to guess is based on what he said. He said 15 to 20 touches for Fournette. So I'm going to say 60, 70% of the work for Fournette when he's healthy. Hyde is the second guy up and Yeldon's the guy I'm passing up.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. All right. New England 38 and Chicago 31. I feel like we've really talked about a lot here, but would you rather have rest of season Tariq Cohen or James White?
White.
White now if Michelle's out.
Yeah, I think it's an easy one. Tariq Cohen or Jordan Howard in non-PPR?
Cohen.
I'll take Cohen.
And I actually think that I'm a little disappointed.
Earmuffs.
He's watching, right?
Yes.
I'm a little behind. I'm watching on my computer.
Earmuffs.
I'm going to guess Kareem Hunt just scored a touchdown. That's what I'm going to guess.
On a pass.
How about that? So I am a little disappointed in Julian Edelman. I know he scored a touchdown, but gave the stat on the radio show. I tweeted the stat and, touchdown Kareem Hunt. He averaged 7 catches for 93 yards in 6 games without Rob Gronkowski 2 years ago with Brady and without Rob Gronkowski. Brady was suspended for the first 4 games of the year and Gronk, I think, missed a game or two. He was a monster and he had 70 or more yards in every game. In those 6 games, he had 5 catches, 36 yards, and a touchdown on 8 targets. So, I don't know. Heath, you know, you said sell high on Edelman. That was before we knew Gronk was out. How do you feel about Edelman right now?
I got a lot more excited about Edelman for this game once we found out Gronk was out. I said mostly the same thing you were thinking. More targets. And he did get a little higher share of the targets in this game, but not much. Not the bump that I was expecting. You're just hoping he scores a touchdown each week in non-PPR. He's got 36, 57, and 54 yards in 3 weeks.
Forget non-PPR. PPR, he's not even really a difference maker there, is he? I mean, he did have 7 catches last week, but 5, 4, and 7 catches in 3 games?
They also lost 2 possessions, 2 drives.
That's true. But so he still threw 36 passes. Not a ton. Yeah.
If Michelle's out, it's the Brady show.
Probably. Minnesota 37, Jets 17. Hey, Cousins, dude. Like, here's my hot take on Cousins. If Cousins were so good, he'd be a Redskin.
Well, they weren't giving him $80 million guaranteed, so no, he would not.
They would have locked him up before franchising him 2 years in a row.
They wouldn't give him the deal that he wanted.
They never fully trusted Kirk Cousins because he's kind of annoying. As a quarterback.
I mean, he's kind of annoying. That really annoying. I'll agree with that part.
I like him. I root for him. But he just, like, he should have had a huge game today, and he didn't. And this is like, oh, here are his fantasy points in 7 games, in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues, where you really want 23 or more, I'd say. 23, 41, 11, 36, 16, 18, 21. I'd say 4 disappointing games in 7.
Fair.
What do you think?
I think he's just in that set and forget it, though.
Yeah, he was 82% started, which was among the highest this week.
Well, I mean, he had a great match against the Jets.
Right. It was disappointing. Jermaine Kearse, no catches. That was great. Oh, Chris Herndon. Yeah. Chris Herndon we definitely should talk about. He almost had 2 touchdowns. He had 1 called back. So he caught a touchdown last week against the Colts. It was kind of a fluky play. But 4 catches, 42 yards, and a touchdown today. And another touchdown reverse for the rookie tight end.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to start him in 10 or 12 team leagues, but in 14 team leagues, you should absolutely look at him.
Next week's the first by NATO, right?
No, there's only 4 teams off next week.
Only 4 next week, so it's the week after that. I was going to
week 9.
Maybe during by NATO you start him, but yeah, I'm not particularly interested.
All right, that's Chris Herndon. New Orleans 24, Baltimore 23. Thoughts on the Ravens running backs? Collins got much more of the work. He had 11 carries and 3 catches. And we knew it was a tough matchup for him, but Buck Allen was consistently in at the goal line, except for the play in which Lamar Jackson ran it in from 1 yard out. Actually, Alex Collins was in on that play. That was after Allen was in for like 3 straight plays near the goal line. So, Jamie, your thoughts on the Ravens running backs?
Well, they put Collins in a lot of times on the Allen touchdown dive. So they put both of them on the field together. I think it's kind of what the sentiment was going into this week. It's you just can't necessarily trust them yet. So they have a tough game going into Carolina this week. I know Carolina's run defense hasn't exactly been stellar. They were great today, but I don't know how much that is just the Eagles not being a good run team. If Collins doesn't score, he's going to hurt you. And if Allen doesn't score, he's terrible. So they're at best flex options. Collins better in non-PPR, Allen better in PPR, but even Allen's receptions have come down.
Are you ready to put Marlon Mack ahead of Alex Collins?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay. We've got Willie Snead being extremely inconsistent when I thought he'd be consistent. He also dropped a pass that probably would have been about a 20-yard gain. But
John Brown was awesome today.
John Brown was terrific. 7 catches, 134 yards, and a touchdown. Nearly had a second touchdown. And Crabtree continues to get targets. Didn't do much with it.
How about our trade today in our fantasy football daily?
What was it?
Michael Crabtree for Kerryon Johnson.
It's terrible.
I scolded the owner who did that.
It was bad. It was Marone, and wasn't it?
Marone traded for Kerryon Johnson.
Oh, good job, Marone.
I told the owner, I'm not going to reveal his name. If you watched our HQ programming, you'll know who it is. And I was joking, but half serious. I said I would have given you AJ Green for Kerryon Johnson. He's like, what? I said, it wouldn't have been far off.
It was Kaiser, wasn't it?
No.
It was it?
No.
Okay. Washington 20, Dallas 17. Ugh, bad game for Zeke. I'm sure we'll just shake that off.
I think it's time to acknowledge that Washington has a really good defense.
Apparently.
They do. It's funny. It's one of those defenses that's very good NFL-wise, not very good fantasy-wise, because they just don't get to the quarterback a lot and get you a lot of turnovers.
Yes. So for fantasy, I talked about this a lot actually on Friday. You guys had the Redskins somewhere between 10 and 12, and I said they are barely owned. They were like 15% owned or something, the DST. They are a very safe defense. They won't kill you. The Cowboys are terrible on the road offensively. I was surprised that they got the touchdown. That was really nice. They actually ended up having a good game defensively. But
well, we should always be surprised when a defense gets a touchdown.
It's true. But they're a solid DST, and the ownership doesn't reflect it.
No, and they get the Giants this week.
Is there any fantasy takeaway from this game? I don't think so. I mean, we talked about
Gallup already. Another 7 catch game for Cole Beasley. He's now on pace for 75 catches. This
is
continues.
He really?
He's going to get there. Yeah.
What did
I
you
did
say?
The math while you guys were talking about Gallup.
You said 90, right?
I said 90, but he's now 16 catches his last 2 weeks. If he does this, woo! I'm going to shatter you.
All right, last game, Rams 39, 49ers 10. All right, so there are a few quarterbacks that just don't throw the ball enough, and they're really good per pass attempt, but Rivers, Stafford, Goff, and maybe I'm forgetting some, but Goff, one game. Who?
Cousins.
Yeah, no. One game this year with more than 33 pass attempts. No game with more than 36 pass attempts. Threw 24 passes and managed 20 fantasy points. But how do you feel about Jared Goff?
I love him this week.
Green Bay.
Yeah, home to Green Bay.
Then at New Orleans.
That's a really good that will probably make him throw just a little bit more.
Like his, 3 of his next 4 games, Green Bay at New Orleans, then Kansas City with Seattle in there as well. Yeah.
Those are good matchups.
He's had a couple games this year where the yards have been there, but the touchdowns haven't.
And finally, give me your assessment of the running backs for the Niners.
Well, Breida got hurt, right?
I think he. Yes, I thought he came back, but he did get hurt.
I think he has left every game that he's ever played with an injury. And at least 3 of them have been career ending. And he's recovered from all of them within a week.
You got to pick up Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, 17% owned. Alfred Morris, I want to say, I didn't get a chance. We went a little early today. I didn't get a chance to look, but I think a lot of Alf's carries were garbage time.
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, all right, Andy Dalton.
This is, by the way, you want to talk about inconsistent. Finally, C.J. Beathard had a bad game.
Yeah. Yeah. And now no quarterback has thrown for, has scored 20 fantasy points in every game, except for Brock Osweiler.
Now, I think there's still one quarterback that has not reached 20 points in a game.
Mariota.
No, he did.
He did.
That was the only time Corey Davis played well in his career.
Josh Allen did against the Vikings.
Yep. Baker did for the first time this week.
Who?
Yep.
Josh Rosen?
I'm looking right. It's either Rosen or Darnold.
Well,
how many Rosen?
What's the starts?
It's Rosen.
Like, how many starts do they have to have?
It was minimum three before this week, so it'll be minimum four now.
So Rosen hasn't started four yet.
Yeah, he has. Rosen
is. This was his fourth.
Rosen is the guy. Rosen has not done it. Good call. Alrighty, that's it for our show. Thanks for listening.
What about the other game, though?
Jamie, what do you think about Kansas City, Cincinnati?
Gotta go back.
Yes, we do have to go. We have to watch the game. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Tuesday with the Waiver Wire. See ya.